Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hello, everybody. This is Kevin David Thomas. Welcome to
Throwback Thursday
and
our favorite things.
And hello, Rob Schneider.
Oh, hi, and I'm Rob Schneider.
Introduced myself, sorry. And I wasn't even like, and God. Rob as well.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about the career that I want. Do you know what I really want to do?
What?
I really
host a podcast.
No. Besides that,
okay.
I really want to be that woman who, on all the award shows, goes, "This is Kevin David Thomas's first Tony Award nomination and first win."
I like that.
That's really what I want to do.
I like that.
Could I do that?
I think you could. I think you have a great voice for that, Rob.
Thank you.
I really do. Especially when you
think that's literally the Bellevue people coming to take me away. Now I'm going to sing I Miss the Mountains. This is Sydney Lucas's 8th Tony nomination and 8th win. Her win tonight is for The Gin Game. Any Gin Game fans out there?
Sydney Lucas in Driving Miss Daisy.
Yes!
Like, yeah, totally.
I cannot wait
with Corbin Blue. Yeah.
This is Kevin David Thomas's first Tony nomination and first win. That's what I can't wait for.
Oh, you're sweet, Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
For me, it'll be, this is Rob's first H&R Block Employee of the Month Award. So that's what I want to do.
My gosh,
that's my career
that
in life.
So funny.
So, Kevin, what is your favorite thing?
All right. My favorite thing is I'm going to call it a soundtrack because it is, in fact, from a movie. And Broadway fans, you know.
Thank you for using the correct terminology.
Well, Broadway fans are really funny about the way we use our terminology because a cast recording or, you know, a recording.
OCR.
OCR, if you will, or OBC, Original Broadway Cast.
Oh, yeah? Sorry, yeah.
Recording, is different than a soundtrack. A soundtrack is definitely from a movie. Now, I'm not going to say that this movie is great. It's a Disney movie. And I would like to see if you can guess what it is.
Hercules.
Nope. It's right after that, actually. Actually, not right after. It's a little bit after that.
Frog Princess?
No. Before that, this is the music is by Alan Menken. It is by Alan Menken. This is the forgotten Disney movie, but I am a fan of the soundtrack. I think Alan Menken is a fantastic composer.
I just saw A Bronx Tale.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
His music, it's genius.
He goes back to his doo-wop roots, right?
It sounds just like his doo-wop stuff. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Well, this score celebrates his country.
I don't know what this is.
So let me tell you the plot of this.
You have been blowing my mind these past few weeks. Blowing my mind.
You have to picture this. So you've got a bunch of cows on a farm. And they're going to lose their farm. So what they do is they decide that they can go after
this
an
is
outlaw.
This is Gorky's Philistines, the 19th century Russian play.
So
next,
they go,
please.
The animals of the farm go after this bad guy in the Wild West in order to get the bounty on his head so they can save their farm.
I don't know what this is. I really.
Judi Dench plays one of the lead cows. Roseanne Barr is in there.
This isn't Chicken Little,
no,
Chicken Ranch,
I love,
Chicken
but
Farm?
I love that you're going, you're scraping. So this musical movie is called by Disney movie with this is the first collaboration
so
of Alan Menken and Glenn Slater, which they then did Sister Act and they did
so
other things.
So pissed when I don't get it.
Home on the Range.
Home on the Range. I've never seen this.
Well, I'm not saying you got to go see the movie.
Just listen to the music.
The movie has like 5 stars out of 10 on IMDb. On IMDb. No, really, the movie is fine. The movie is
Home
what it is.
Home on the Range. Okay.
However, the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I know some people out there are like, Kevin, have you lost your mind? Alan Menken wrote 6 songs, of which they then extracted the melodies. Because I'll say the one thing Alan Menken can really do well is write a great melody. I think the man can write a beautiful
go
melody.
Go see Bronx Tale before it goes away.
You,
go
the
see
the man
it.
Can write a melody. And so he wrote 6 songs with beautiful melodies, and the score is all of the score, you know, the CD or the recording of this, the soundtrack of this movie has 6 songs. with some little other versions of them, and then a couple orchestral songs from the movie, right, that are based on his song. They sound beautiful. They're done by all of Broadway's best arrangers and orchestrators, people you may not know, but I know. Like,
just very quickly, Kevin got so excited, his car literally flew up in the air.
My
he had not stopped talking and still grabbed it. I was very impressive. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Because I got excited over orchestrators, but nobody cares who these people are, but I do, and you need to know their names. Doug Besterman, Michael Kasarin, Michael Starobin, Danny Troop. These are people that literally are the reason why Broadway sounds the way they do and why Disney movies sound the way that they do.
You are absolutely right. The role of the orchestrator and vocal arranger is so often neglected.
So special. These guys are so... And the fact that in one movie they had... let's just say, for all intents and purposes, this was the Disney flop musical movie. It was not a hit. Michael Eisner hated the original concept. It did not go well. There are some great songs in it, but the top notch, you know, writing team. When you go to IMDb and you look at the music team, it's the best of Broadway, the best of Hollywood. It is some of the
home
best.
Home on the Range.
Totally. So the songs, the reason why I want to talk about this, yes, of the six songs, the opening number is not so great. Randy Quaid. Sings a yodeling song. You know, it does that whole thing. That man, yeah, totally. Allegedly. A little out there.
To lunch.
A little out there. Remember, he was going to come to Broadway with a musical.
Lone Star.
That's right. And I saw it in Cleveland, actually, in 2000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he was going to be the big star of that. Didn't come to Broadway because he and his wife kind of hijacked it. Anyway, allegedly. But the... So the numbers that I think you should listen to, though... A Little Patch of Heaven that Katie Lang sings is really fun. There's a country song that Tim McGraw sings that is Wherever the Trail May Lead. The songs are mostly about like the unknown road, the travels that you take, how hard it is, and that it's okay. But to me, the two most meaningful songs on this recording, the first is... a song called Anytime You Need a Friend. And speaking of the music team, when you have a song and a composer writes a song, what happens is that arranger will then take it and arrange it. Exactly that. They maybe speed up the tempo, they'll add some instrumentation, they'll tell the orchestrator, this is what we have to do. We're gonna recreate the sound and make it this. So on the CD, there's two versions of this song. One is by this girl group that I've never even heard of, nor probably will again, called the La Boo Sisters, or the Boo Sisters, but they sing like a really 90s pop version of the song. But the very final track on the CD is Alan Menken singing this song with just the piano. So what you hear is you get to hear the original version, but then you hear what this other version that is, I would say, not so great.
Yeah.
You know, but this original version that Alan Menken sings, the song is stunning. It's a beautiful song about friendship and about being there for somebody, and that no matter what happens in whatever the trail may lead, I'll be there for you. I'll be by your side.
That's so sweet.
It's beautiful. Then the other song that really rocked me, I think will rock you, is called Will the Sun Ever Shine Again? Bonnie Raitt sings it. The great
Bonnie Raitt.
And Alan Menken wrote this song as a response to 9/11, because this movie came out in 2004.
Oh my God.
So, and the song is essentially like, whoa, the rain is coming down, the clouds, it's storming like we've never seen, you know, and it makes you wonder, will the sun ever shine again? Oh. And so, and with Bonnie Raitt singing it and these lyrics and these music, it's really it's not to be forgotten. And because the movie is not so great, but I find that the music writing team and that part of it really did their job.
Do you know if the movie's available on like Netflix or anything? I'll look it up. iTunes.
I do not know. Because I know Disney, you know how Disney is about locking things in the vault and all of that. I don't know. But anyway, Home on the Range is, I think, worth a listen.
Okay.
I just think it's worth a listen.
Home on the Range.
It's not to be forgotten. It is Disney and it is fun, but it's not to be forgotten.
So, amazing.
That's mine. What's yours?
I really like that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So mine is a Tony Awards broadcast.
Oh, I love when you do this.
Have you ever done one of these on our favorite things? Have you ever done a Tony Awards broadcast?
I've never done a broadcast. I think I've talked about maybe a number, but I've never talked about a broadcast.
All right. I'm going to give you one. I hope you've seen this one. And this is one that I've just made all of my students watch. I actually made them watch the whole broadcast. This is the Tony Awards, ladies and gentlemen, from 1971. And it was the 25th anniversary of the Tonys. So I'm going to give you a little bit of Tony history. If you don't know this, and I hope I get my years right here, for the longest time from when the Tonys first came out till about 1966, the Tonys were not broadcast nationally.
That's right. It was a private party.
Yeah, I think the Tony broadcasts for 60 and 61, I think, were broadcast only in New York City and nowhere else. And they were galas. People would sit like at dinner tables. They looked very much like the Golden Globes today.
Exactly.
And in 1966, the decision was to televise them nationally and then present long clips, like 6 or 7 minute long clips.
You weren't like 3.5 minutes and that's it. You know,
it's not going to be the Norwegian Cruise Line Hairspray
medley,
coming out.
Thank you. They did medleys. They did.
The 66 one has Cabaret. It has all of Nobody's Perfect from I Do, I Do. It has Walking Happy and
Walking
Happy. The Apple
Tree.
It does the long apple tree.
What? That's what I did. That was one of my clips.
You did the Barbara Harris one.
That's right. Great. Yeah.
1971 is from 1971. It's the 25th anniversary. And this is, I think, Hilde Parks and Alexander Cohen again, who always wanted a theme. And I would like to kiss their feet because here's the theme they came up with. What if we brought back the original performer from every single best musical that won the Tony Award? They're going to start with David Wayne singing from Finian's Rainbow.
Amazing.
And that's going to go into Nanette Fabre singing from High Button Shoes, which is going to go into Alfred Drake singing Kiss Me, Kate.
Oh, yeah.
And so every single musical from before 1971 is on there with the original performer being preserved for future generations to see.
That's 1971. That's absolutely
and everything.
Amazing.
Edie Adams in Wonderful Town. Richard Kiley and Gwen Verdon doing Redhead. Who the hell? Nobody even does Redhead anymore.
I love Richard Kiley.
Right? And so, and then they also have him sing Impossible. Do they have him sing Impossible Dream? No, that might be on another Tony's
broadcast.
That's
later. I think
Sorry. But anyway, so this is what you... Now, I'm going to tell you the big one here. Somebody asked me if you could take a moment in musical theater and show it to everybody and go and say, this is what musical theater should be. It was preserved on this broadcast. I'm going to be honest. I am not a huge fan of The King and I. Not a massive fan of The King and I. I think only because I've seen so many subpar productions of it that I've never really had a chance to fully embrace it. And I never saw the one in Lincoln Center, so that does not include it in my analogy.
Sure.
For those of you who have never seen this clip, Shall We Dance? And they sing and they dance and it's all wonderful and it's all very fun and lighthearted until they get to the moment where he says, no, this is all wrong. That's not how they were dancing tonight. They weren't dancing this far apart. They were dancing like this. And he grabs her. The audience, you can hear a pin drop. The way he looks at her, the way she looks at him, the sensuality, the sexuality, and all of the tension is preserved. And without breaking eye contact, she lifts up her skirt, and it is the most sensual thing you will ever see. And I think it's exactly what musical theater should do. And if you watch it now, even today, you will not only hear a pin drop on the video clip, you will hear a pin drop in your own house listening to it. It has captured something majestic and amazing. Wow. So I think it's wonderful to watch because you're going to see all of these performers who's never got a chance to have their stuff preserved on film or any other sort of live medium for the most part, finally being preserved. And I think it's a wonderful demonstration, especially for young students, on what did the Golden Age look like, sound like, and how did they put over a song. So the 1971 Tony Awards, don't be fooled that at the opening Lauren Bacall pops out of a tinfoil Tony Award. Don't let that confuse you. And also, it's also that Your Company wins the Best Musical, so it's cool to see the speeches by Hal Prince. Maureen Stapleton has a wonderful speech for Gingerbread Lady. And going back to your orchestrator point, Stephen Sondheim wins for Best Musical. And in his acceptance speech for Best Score, he mentions the orchestrator.
Tunick.
And he does that, I think, every time he wins a Tony Award. He always mentions his orchestrator.
Oh, wow.
And so this is the first one of doing it. So going back to the power of the orchestrator.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So my favorite thing is the Tony Awards from 1971 in its entirety on YouTube. Watch it. It is amazing.
Man, I'm so glad I'm just so glad that those Tony Awards are on there now.
Thank God.
I haven't re-explored the fact
nobody's
that...
Nobody's taken them away.
You know, the 70s and 80s are there. It's amazing.
Yeah, from 19... And also, I think they also have on YouTube the 1960, 1961, where they're just at, like, you know, a dinner function getting them.
Amazing.
And it's interesting to see how much they've grown. I'm going to be honest with you. I really wish they would go back to how they used to do it.
This more sort of informal... You know, dinner setting, kind of like a...
I mean actually like doing the... Like what we saw in 1966 where you could sit down and be like, listen, here's 7 minutes of Waitress.
Right.
Here's seven
longer
minutes of
clips,
Bright Star.
Not this sort of like where they have to turn up the tempos and they have to like, you know, I'm going to do a medley, but I got to turn all the tempos up so I can fit my 3.5 minutes of time.
Yeah. And I totally understand why they do it, but you know, the show, the musical theater aficionado in me wants me to
but
go
also,
back.
But also, I thought you were going to say, I wish that in the last 15, 20 years that we would have, like, here's Hugh Jackman singing Boy from Oz.
Well, I mean...
You know, here's David Hyde Pierce from Curtains. Here's, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of, like, people that,
kidding?
Like, were very special to have graced the Broadway stage that, you know, celebrate that.
Listen, if they could do that from 1972 on, do you know what I mean?
Right?
Get somebody from the original company. Get Pam Myers to sing another 100 people, and we will just go from there.
This
for every
generation,
best musical.
It's more like here's Idina and Kristen singing, you know, from Wicked again.
Exactly.
I mean, why not?
Exactly.
You know? Or there's Idina singing from Rent. I don't know.
No, or Anthony, get Anthony rapping. His face? Adam Pascal back out there again. So yeah. So anyway, that's the 1971 Tony Awards.
Well done.
Preserving things that have not been preserved yet, or had not been preserved. So thank God for that. And yours is
My Home on the Range.
Which I think is great.
Little flop musical, but that has a pretty awesome score.
It does. And
check it out.
Big shout out to big shout out to all the orchestrators we talked about tonight.
I'm a huge fan of the music team. I think that's really what it's about.
As well you should be.
Yeah.
All right. And then I'm gonna do a little plug really quickly. Can I do a plug?
Yeah.
If you're interested, January 22nd, 54 Below, I'm doing 54 Sings, Christopher Guest movies. Going to get to hear from Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show.
Spinal Tap.
We got a good cast.
Good one, Rob.
So come out and join us on Sunday.
Please plug.
All right. We will talk to you all soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
I dreamed a dream of days to come where sponsorship is high and money is forthcoming.
That's beautiful, Kevin.
No, I really added a voice onto that one, too. I really was trying to go for something there.
Listeners, we love creating this podcast, but it does cost money. Please don't make me sell my Angel record.
Oh, my gosh. The original cast recording of Angel.
That, like, nobody has.
Nobody has it.
If you like what we are doing and want us to keep doing more of it, please head over to patreon.com.
What?
patreon.com.
Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah,
Patreon.
Yeah, and once you're there, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends, and of course, We don't expect to give without receiving some great rewards.
Such rewards include behind-the-scenes videos,
ooh,
shout-outs on future episodes,
mm,
or episodes, depending on what part of the country you're from, because I said episodes, and early access to some of our podcasts. Hell, for the right price, Kevin and I will come to your apartment and act out all of Agnes of God.
So head over, friends, to patreon.com to help us out.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah,
not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.